Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, sponsored by Dunkin', featuring their new location on Harding Pike in Belle Meade. Here's the head coach.
The starter, the player that's getting the most reps, it comes down to, you know, versatility and how much you can do and how much you play on special teams and what your impact is outside of your normal position.
Let me ask you one on Adrian Peterson, too. Just how impressed you've been, his career's lasted as long, and what do you see when you watch and prepare for him this week?
Well, great power, great toughness, runs hard, he's a violent player. You know, it'll be important we get a lot of defenders like it is every week to the football, you know, try to avoid one-on-one tackles. You know, obviously a stiff arm and, you know, his ability to jump cut and his toughness and, you know, he's taking care of the football.
Terry?
Mike, as you guys are closing in on a playoff berth, obviously with this year and all that's going on just in the world and in the league, what's been the biggest challenges in your mind just to keep everything on track, and what's been the keys to kind of having success amid these circumstances?
I think the only thing we're closing in on, Terry, is, you know, preparation for the Lions and trying to get another victory, a 10th victory, you know, so – To phrase however you did about our focus on the playoffs, our focus is on the Lions. Our focus is on trying to continue to improve at this time of year, how critical it is. We're all in the same environment. You know, we all have the same rules. We all have the same rules on Monday and Tuesday, and, you know, trying to keep players as safe and their families as safe as possible. So, you know, this is just the environment we live in, and that's how we approach it.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I wonder, especially as a former player, I wonder how much you can kind of relate to and appreciate guys like your veteran O-linemen, Saffold, Kelly, and Jones, who probably haven't been 100% in a while, but seem to be kind of going out there each week and gutting things out.
Nobody's 100% at this time of the year. John, you know that, and I know that. You know, those guys seem to do, you know, whatever it is it takes to get to the game. And I think our teammates appreciate it and respect it. And obviously the coaching staff and the organization appreciates and respects it.
How do you, you know, at the beginning of the week, maybe how do you kind of manage workloads with those guys when they're veteran players like that? Is it just sort of almost up to them to do however much they can do? Or,
I mean, we have a plan for each player that we discuss and we go over with Todd and the training staff. And, you know, we'll talk to some of those guys and try to figure out what exactly they need and, you know, how much recovery, you know, they may require and what the toll of practice is versus, you know, maybe just taking a day off and what's your, you know, how much are you getting out of practicing as opposed to just trying to give them a day off.
Thank you.
Buck?
Yeah, Coach, now that you guys have Christian Fulton back and available to you, how does that kind of change with his role since Desmond King is primarily your slot guy and Christian has obviously played both in the slot for you and outside college?
You know, these roles are all determined by, you know, how you practice. You know, Christian hasn't been out there in, you know, quite a while, so – you know, that's going to be up to him. That's going to be up to how he practices and how he plays and what he can do on special teams. But we'll see how it looks, and we'll try to make a decision if he's one of those guys that we feel like can help us on game day.
Luke?
Mike, when you run a defense that uses disguise and confusion as a weapon, is it possible to ever get to a point where you're doing so much of that that you start to hurt yourselves and confuse yourselves? Is there a limit to that, you think?
We always try to tell them that we can't let our disguise or alignment override our assignment.
Paul?
Mike, David Long obviously carried the whole load at that spot last game. What's the progress report on him, and how comfortable has he gotten with things? How do you rate what he's done?
And, you know, David missed a little bit of time, being away with the practice time from COVID list, and then has worked his way back, and I think it's gotten better. And the more that he practices, and the more that he plays, it gets better, and he's improving.
Teron.
Yeah, Coach, with your three safeties that you have, and Byard, Vaccaro, and Hooker, what is it about that trio that allows you to get them on the field so much? Is it, you know, Vaccaro's ability to drop down in the box and play like a linebacker? What is it?
We'll see how those guys, you know, fit into the plan this week against the Lions and their passing game, and things that we'll have to stop, and, you know, We're all going to have to find ways to disrupt the passing game, and hopefully that those guys will find roles where we can move them in there this week.
David Buckler.
Mike, you've always talked about making sure guys have opportunities to advance in their careers. How do you expect Arthur to get head coaching interviews, and do you guys have a plan in place to make sure he can do those interviews and still get all the work that he needs to do gets done?
I think anytime that you have success, and, you know, we want the best for, our coaches, that's a great responsibility. I think that I have is one is to hire a great staff. I think that the better staff that you hire, those possibilities become a reality. And I've talked to the entire staff, there's a right way to handle these things in a wrong way. And I think that any opportunity that Arthur would deserve, or any of our coaches would deserve, they'll handle it the right way. They'll focus on a preparation, which I know is on Detroit this week. And nobody can be interviewed in the National Football League until I guess now the bye week's a little different. And also it'll be when your season's over. And right now we have a long way to go for our season to be over, and I think that we'll try to support those coaches that have opportunities when the time comes.
Jim?
Mike, this is the kind of time of year when the NFL puts out different playoff scenarios for teams. Do you even need to say anything to guys about, hey, keep the focus on ourselves, and how dangerous is it if guys start looking around at what other teams are doing?
Does the NFL put those? Does the league put those out? I haven't seen that from my emails from the league. I'm not.
Right. Yeah. The league puts out scenarios each week, and includes the Tennessee Titans this week, along with a lot of others.
I haven't seen that, Jim.
Right. Yeah. They put out Titans need a win, and you need some other things to happen. I imagine you probably don't want your guys to even pay attention to that kind of stuff.
The league office sends that out?
That's right.
Man. I got to get on that email, Jimmy. I think that we've been we played in a play-in game, in 2018 that we didn't win. We played in a play-in game last year, that we did win, and we got some help. So I think that we're pretty familiar with how these things come down to each and every week, and how important every week is. I was very comfortable in where our focus was this morning, being on the Lions and trying to learn that those personnel, the players that they have. So it's just every week is going to be so critical to determining the eventual outcome.
Luke.
Mike, how has Jack Crawford done with the edge stuff that you all have asked him to do some this year?
You know, that's actually, you know, I appreciate you taking notice. Jack's been a guy that's come in and, you know, great teammate, works hard, goes hard, has played different roles for us, Luke. And, you know, he continues to play, you know, physical. He was very active in the run game last week and, you know, got some push, got into the pocket. You know, I think he had an opportunity to get his hand up maybe, and we talked about that, trying to affect the quarterback and tip the football. But, yeah, Jack's a smart player, has played different positions for us, and, you know, so we'll have to, you know, try to find places for him to play for us.
All right, Coach, I sent you the email with the playoff scenarios, but that's all the questions we have for you today.
I appreciate that, Robbie. Does that?
There you go, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. And that press
something
conference
tells me Robbie had already sent that, but maybe it went overlooked. Or the problem, maybe there was somebody being a smart aleck there.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's being a smart butt or not. I don't. I never know if he's being serious or not, you know, if he's just
that's
having
part of the game. That's part fun of the game. Yeah,
That's a coach made over right there. Like, I don't want to see – we're preparing for the Lions. I don't want to see any of that.
He knows.
But it is early.
It was him going, don't be asking those questions.
But
that's
he honestly, it's possible. Okay, I'm not going to pretend to know how he's approached it. But with 3 weeks left, I can see a head coach not really paying that close of attention yet. You know, you get into that last week or two, you do have to know that, because there becomes a point where – let's take, for example, last year when they played the Saints. They realized during the week that they didn't have to win that game, that they were going to need to win the following game because it was a conference game, right? And that's why they decided not to play Derrick Henry. I mean, they still almost won the game. They played a pretty good game, but they knew that everything was riding the following week in the division game, the conference game against the Texans. And it fell perfectly because the Texans had everything wrapped up and they didn't need to play. They didn't need to win. So he's crazy if he's not looking at that stuff. But I can see not really focusing on it with 3 weeks left, because they know they're trying to win the division. They've got to stay ahead of the Colts. That's the first thing. That's the first goal.
Yeah, but we also know, you know, I don't know what you guys do, but when I'm sitting here listening to these, there are times I hear a question and I cringe and I go, oh, he's not going to touch that, or oh, he's not going to be happy about that, because we've just learned how he is. And I was pleasantly surprised with David Beauclair when he asked the question about Arthur Smith and coaching. I was thinking he'd want to move as far away from that as he could, because focused on the Lions. I mean, that's been his whole theme of the press conference, of not worrying about, you know, anything beyond this week. So he pays attention to it. Of course he does.
The league sends that out.
Yeah, I love that. That was great. And good on Jim Wyatt for standing there in the ring with him.
Yeah,
he stood right there.
Jim's a vet. He knows what he's doing.
I know, but you know, it's still, you gotta give props to our boy Jim.
He knows exactly what he's just being, and I was being sarcastic. He knew exactly what he's doing, and that's fine. I mean, but I'm not. You seem surprised from what have we learned about Mike Vrabel? He is all about, you know. But this is most coaches. He's all about his players and his staff. I mean, why would he shy away from talking about one of his staff members being rewarded with a head coaching opportunity? I mean, they usually take the opportunity to praise him, which is exactly what he did. I wasn't surprised at all. There's no reason to run from that. He's proud of his. That's him.
Well,
that's him sticking his chest out, going, sure. Yeah, somebody in my staff. You betcha they're going to be coming after him because he's a good hire. I got a good coach. That's not surprising at all to me.
But there are some
organizations that aren't quite that way, and it's surprising.
Right, and I know he likes to praise his players and his coaches, but how he started the press conference of, you know, we're focused on the Lions, you know, we're not worried about anything else, we're looking at the Lions, that's the direction I thought he'd go with it. That's the theme of, he could have been like, yeah, Arthur's done a great job, but he's getting ready for the Lions. And he even said that. He did mention that, you know, he knows the getting prepped for this week for the Lions, while also saying the other thing. So
that also could come off viewed as insulting. That, wow, that's what you think of me? Like, you give a 10-second answer on that question? Wow. I mean, I thought he did the right thing.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't. I was a little surprised he spent as much time on it as he did.
I think anytime Mike Vrabel sees an opportunity to stick his chest out, he's going to stick his chest out. That's a stick in your chest out moment. You're darn tootin' somebody's coming after one of my coaches. Because my staff is good. You know that's how he's wired. Look, if there's anything we've learned, every time we think one thing, he is going to do everything in his power to prove you wrong until he can't do it anymore. And whether it's Shane Bowen, it's why I don't think he's going to hire anybody, because you know what? Everybody, including this show, thinks that they should hire a defensive coordinator with experience, somebody who's been around the league for a long time. They need help. Okay, it's proven the last two here have worked because they've been doing it forever, and it's worked, and their defenses have not been the issues, and this year the defense has been an issue all year. But what's he probably going to do? Knowing him like we do,
name
he's probably going to be like,
DC.
Huh, I've got my hand right now underneath my chin. You know that motion? That's probably what he's going to be doing. Blank
name,
off.
And name Shane
I'll
Bowen
prove you wrong until he can't prove you wrong.
Now,
so my guess is he probably won't hire somebody in the offseason like he should, because the defense needs help. It needs experienced coordinator, but he probably won't do it because he's like, I'm going to prove to them, I'm going to cram Shane Bowen down their throats until Shane Bowen, you know, is successful. That's probably what he's going to do.
So you think he even does that if they get knocked out first round and it's all because of defensive miscues?
I mean,
which is going to be the reason they lose.
By the way, play it out for me. So what happens? So the defense is just atrocious?
Absolutely atrocious.
And they just somebody runs all over them?
Okay. Can't pressure the quarterback, can't make plays in the secondary.
Sundays. That's Sundays with this defense.
Right. That's my point.
Okay.
I mean, now they have at times you see them make a third down stop and everybody cheers and goes, "Hey, they got one." But I'm talking about just get absolutely obliterated like we have seen at times this year, and the offense can't do enough to win the game.
I believe that scenario, Chase, it takes – because he's not going to do it on his own. The way that it happens behind the scenes and he has to go get somebody, if they go out in the first round and the defenses look like it's looked all year and they can't get off the field on third – right, the same stuff, the checklist we go through every Monday on the show, right, which usually plays out on Sundays, even though they've got 9 wins and that's their comeback, and I get it. We all get it. But I think at some point, if that happens, they lose in their first playoff, the first round, and the defense is the same, and they can't get to the quarterback, and you know a guy like Baker Mayfield throws all over them, which is alarming. You know, other guys and whoever that quarterback is, it's going to take probably like John Robinson going, Mike, Kate, come on in here, man, for a second.
I don't think so. I disagree.
Mike, I love you, man. I love you. I love you, Mike, but you got it. You got to get a defensive. It's going to take the general manager saying, "Man, I love you, but you probably need to get an experienced defensive coordinator."
And
let me ask you guys something here. Name any defensive coordinator you want. Do you think they would be able to have a really good defense with this group, with the injuries, what the cards they've been dealt?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A lot better.
The last two guys, there were times we looked at that roster and went, how in the world are they doing this? It wasn't a who's who roster with the last two guys. You're saying defense last year, Dean Pease, it was the who's who
I think they had more talent than this group here. I would say.
Oh, yeah. I disagree.
I think they had a little more talent, a little better luck with injuries last year. I think
their best player on defense this year wasn't even really a factor last year.
Right, but I think
Byard had a better year last year. They were healthier last year.
Okay, why did he have a better year?
Well, that's a fair question. I'm just saying I think they've been dealt
Jarrell
some
Casey,
tougher
Logan
stuff.
Ryan did more.
I think they've been dealt some tougher stuff on defense this year with injuries, etc. The changes that they made personnel-wise, I don't think have netted a better group. And Willie, here's where I also disagree with you. I also think that if you think Mike Vrabel is going to, just as some sort of pride, not think that if I hired a different guy, we'd have a better chance of winning. I don't think it's necessarily going to be John Robinson forcing him to do it. If they stink it out from here on and they don't reach their goal because of the defense, I think he'll do what he needs to do.
If you don't think Mike Vrabel operates on pride, then you haven't got that man figured out. Well, if you don't think he's about sticking his chest out and pride and I'll show you, then you don't know him very well. That's not the way I read him.
I think the guy wants to win.
I think the guy wants to win and he wants to do it. He wants to win and he wants to do it his way.
Because he doesn't want to have to say,
He'd rather lose than do that.
He'd rather do it his way and lose than be told how to win. And here's the thing: if this conversation that you're throwing out there, Darren, happens behind the scenes, and John Robinson says, "Hey, I think you need to go out and get a defensive coordinator," then to this conversation, Mike could turn around and say, "Well, I think you need to go out and get me some better players too."
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think that's their relationship though.
No, that's not going to happen. But it's also a fair argument because you trade away Jarrell Casey, and we know why. It was the cap hit, but you trade away Jarrell Casey. You don't re-sign Logan Ryan because Logan Ryan outpriced himself on the market. But those were two very big players for you last year. Made a huge difference. If you have them on this team with some of the guys that we're talking about, who knows what it looks like?
To your point of they were trotting out in the playoffs. By the way, Malcolm Butler wasn't even a factor the second half of the season or the playoffs. Kamale Correa and Wesley Woodyard were their linebackers. They were playing in playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
The trip to the AFC Championship game, and you think that was a more talented roster than this year? Kamale Correa, who they just sent packing, and Wesley Woodyard, who's no longer in the league at the end. He retired. And you don't think Dean Pease got more out of that group than what's been going on this year?
Sure he did.
They were healthier.
Sure he did.
How do you think those guys were playing? It wasn't because they were healthier. Bodies were dropping. That's why those guys were in the lineup.
And Woodyard.
It's been. We had this discussion 3 or 4 weeks ago. Football Outsiders. The Titans were, I think, third in the least games lost, valuable games lost by injuries. So they were healthier last year. It's not even close.
And I'll say this, Darren. I don't disagree with you. I think he should go get a defensive coordinator. I have been one of those that, okay, if it's Shane, either he should have said, hey, Shane Bowen's my guy. He's the defensive coordinator. If you really believe in him that much, then why didn't you put the title on him? But there should be a dedicated defensive coordinator. I have been on that bandwagon since Dean Pease retired. So I don't disagree there. I'm playing devil's advocate of the counter argument to Vrabel saying, no, I'm going to do it my way, and this is how it's going to be. Well, you know, you could also argue that the personnel could be a little bit better too. Injuries factor in that it all is on the table.
They have not had their starting corners the whole year. They haven't had Adoree Jackson. They just lost Jayon Brown. The Clowney thing didn't work. The Beasley thing was a disaster. They've had musical chairs in the secondary with any number of corners. A seventh-round pick here, a guy off the practice squad there, a guy off the street there. It's not a loaded defense at all. And that being said, I'm not saying they may not have a new defensive coordinator, just naming Shane Bowen the defensive coordinator. I don't know. I think all of that's up for consideration. But I think from here to the end of the season, it's going to tell a lot of the story. What do they do from here on? If they lose because of their defense, they've got to put a coordinator in. There's no question. But I think Vrabel would then do it.
We also said he needs to get a new kicker, and he didn't do it. I'm just telling you, that man is going to do it, and he's going to go kicking and screaming his way until he's told he can't do it his way. That's my read on Mike Vrabel. He wants to prove everybody wrong. He doesn't want to listen to the masses. I get all that. I understand. That's how he's wired. That's how he's been successful. That's fine. But if you don't think that man does everything to stick his chest out and to brag on his staff or brag on his players or brag, period, or to do things his way. Do I think he wants to win? Hell yeah, he wants to win. He's a fierce competitor, but he wants to win his way. He doesn't want to win somebody telling him how to do it. He wants to do it his way. And I'm just telling you, I don't. He is going to go kicking and screaming until he is told, I believe, or until he has no choice to do the defensive coordinator move, unless something changes for the better. But if this is what it is the rest of the way and it ends up biting him in the butt in January, I think it's going to take John Robinson going, I love you, but, for him to do that. Because I think he wants to prove everybody wrong. Shane Bowen's his guy, man. He's all about his guys. We've already learned that. Stephen Gostkowski is his guy, man. Jadeveon Clowney, he talks about his guys. Other guys, when you bring them up, he doesn't really have much to say. Those aren't his guys.
I would say Gostkowski is Robinson's guy, too. Patriot connections there. I think you could certainly put
yeah,
them in
but
that
it's
category.
His. He never shied away from talking about Gostkowski. There's other guys you ask him about. Doesn't have a whole lot to say.
Right.
And you can get the vibe of who's his guy and who's that's once again, that's okay. Coaches do that. That's you can have your guy. I mean, they're with these people all the time. They know who's putting in the work, who's not, who's got the right attitude, who's got a lousy attitude, and you're allowed to form an opinion off of that. Or a guy you think is better than this guy as opposed to another guy. That's okay. But I also know that sometimes that can skew his vision. I think sometimes he's operated on the sidelines by making poor decisions, by, you know, the player mentality coming in. We've talked about that over the years. And I think the other part is sometimes he can't check away from that player mentality and how his personal feelings on somebody, and he doesn't know how to back away from that. And, yeah, right now you could say Gostkowski hasn't been an issue, right, since it was time. It just was time. It wasn't working. But yet right now you could say, okay, but he's not been an issue. I guess as long as he keeps kicking over 50, it's not going to be an issue. Clearly he seems very comfortable with, 50 to 55. He seems very comfortable. It's everything else that seems at times to be really, really sketchy. But I don't know. I wasn't surprised by his answer on Arthur Smith. Because that's just how he operates. He's a prideful guy, and I think this whole defensive coordinator thing, we need to see how it's going to play out. But right now, nothing has changed. It has looked the same all year. Can we all agree on that? For the most
absolutely.
Part, it's looked the same all year.
Well, the personnel has not looked the same all year. I mean, they are a who's that guy defense right now.
As most teams in the league are.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I know. You always think it's only this market. It's only this market that has to deal with diversity. Like, nobody else is dealing with who's that guy out on the field. Check your rosters every week, and then you can. If you follow the team, you'd realize they're doing
the
same thing.
The Saints, the Rams, those are teams that have a bunch of no names on defense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're dealing with adversity. Yeah, they've had players go down, and they deal with injuries, and they elevate guys from the practice squad. Yeah.
So when Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald go out there and some of the other guys they have, that's the same as who the Titans are running out there?
Well, clearly, if the Titans don't have Aaron Jones and Jalen Ramsey, they're not trotting out the same players. That has nothing to do with injuries. That has something to do with drafting and signing players. They don't have an Aaron Jones and a Jalen Ramsey, and they don't have anybody even close to that.
Right. So they have Jeffrey Simmons, and
it's supposed to be Kevin Byard, are the two closest to that.
Right. And Rashawn Evans. Those guys are who they are. And so it wasn't a loaded defense with everybody there. And since then, they've lost Clowney, Beasley. Adoree Jackson hasn't played at all. Mm-hmm. Jayon Brown. They lost. They've got a lot of guys that aren't there.
They lost Beasley when they signed him. What did he ever do for this team? Nothing.
How is that Shane Bowen's
fault? You call Vic Beasley
that
a loss?
That is part of my argument, Darren. You're making this about the defensive coordinator. I'm saying the defensive coordinator has had a bad hand. Has had a tough hand to deal with. That's not an easy defense to make. Flourish. This team is built to win with offense.
I'm telling you, Dean Pease did more with less, and it's because he's a damn good coach.
He did more, but he had
Kamalei Correa is a prime example of that. Because Kamalei Correa was not
– He played some good games late in the season. We haven't gotten – Right. At this point last year, Kamalei Correa hadn't done anything. So let's see what happens between now and the end of the year when we're getting into that period where it's cold, everybody's banged up, there's more and more stuff. I mean, some guys sort of emerge, and this is when I think the Titans did their best work defensively from here to the end of the season last year. So let's see. Let's see what happens. I'm sure I have plenty of time to talk about it when the season's over of what the best thing is to do. I'm just leaving it. I'm open-minded about Bowen. I think the real story is how do they do from here on?
That press conference that we played was brought to you by Dunkin', featuring their new location on Harding Pike in Belle Meade. We'll come back. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him to start the third hour. And we'll give our new top 10 that we've been doing every week after Tim Hasselbeck. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Early signing period starting today. Today through the end of the week, so we'll keep you posted on what's going on there. Doesn't look good for Tennessee, again, but we'll keep monitoring that. For Jeremy Pruitt, there's a lot of stuff going on in Knoxville. They are expected to play. Vanderbilt season has come to an end. Speaking of Vanderbilt, they're actually going to be on the hardwoods in about 25 minutes. They've got a game, and I believe it's on television.
SEC Network.
It is on SEC Network.
Oh, let's go. Let's watch some hoops.
It is. And Vanderbilt is playing Richmond, a team that is very good, that beat Kentucky.
Spiders.
Vanderbilt has played Kentucky this year.
Yeah, that's Kentucky's sets of problems.
Cuyahoga Community College?
I don't think they've played, and I think Kentucky would be a 2.5-point favorite.
Vanderbilt went to Richmond last year and lost in overtime on the last play of the game. Before they had Aaron Nesmith get hurt, but it was a great game. They had a great chance of winning on the road. The COVID issue for Vanderbilt's been big. They got back and played last Sunday against Mississippi Valley State, who's awful. They could end up in the bottom 10 of the old KenPom or RPI, whatever rating system you prefer. But the Doors now, they're missing three guys for a second straight game, including Cleavon Brown, who's an important big man for them. So this will be interesting. We'll see how they do.
I was a little surprised that college basketball didn't go the football route and eliminate out-of-conference games. But, hey, they've been trying. You know, some obviously haven't happened, but they've been trying.
They're trying to, I guess, normal is such a weird word now, but go as normal as they possibly can with it. And I agree, try until you can't. And I think that we'll just see how it goes. But it has been fun to see some of these matchups early on when I've been flipping through. You know, I watched a little bit of Tennessee-Cincinnati the other day.
Tennessee looks, man, they look good.
They look good. Gosh, I watched some last night, too. They do.
Hey, by the way, they can defend. They can get after you.
Oh, they're very good. They're the best in the SEC, I think. Vanderbilt, just to finish the thought, I'm just looking at the three guys. Cleavon Brown, who has been around forever. He's a big body, so they'll miss some size. Miles Stute, who's a good freshman. But the big one, too, is DJ Harvey, the transfer from Notre Dame, who is expected to be a key scorer for them. He's going to miss his second straight game. The contact tracing and stuff, it's like you guys were saying. I think that the last I saw, one out of about every five games has had to be canceled. That's pretty high. That's a lot. Now you can say, well, they're playing 80% of the games, so it's like glass half full, glass half empty. So this is going to just be how it goes the whole year. I don't know if it matters whether you try to play a conference game or a non-conference game. It's like if you have your guys, it's like call somebody. We need to play because tomorrow we may not be able to play because another round of tests are coming in.
Looking on DraftKings, Richmond, what do you think the line is on Richmond-Vandy?
You said it's at Vanderbilt?
Yep.
Vandy 2.5, 3.5.
I'll guess Richmond 6.5.
Yeah, I guess Richmond will be favored for sure, especially without those three guys.
Richmond by six.
Okay.
I'm guessing they're aware of the three guys that won't play for Vanderbilt.
I would say
that
line is, yeah, they're usually aware of that stuff. Yeah, they're pretty good about figuring that stuff out.
They know what's going on.
Yeah, you've been to Vegas? You have. Have you seen those
casinos?
Well,
honestly, though, with COVID, I think sometimes you show up and you're not sure on that day if a guy's going to get released from the isolation or the contact tracing. I don't know. I mean, the clock starts ticking, I guess, and I just wonder if Vegas can get the very latest on every single game. If there's a place that can do it, it's Vegas, but I'm sure they have challenges with this that they've never had before.
Oh, I already saw it play out when I was in Gatlinburg back last month. It was the East Carolina, and I think I brought it up on the show when I got back. East Carolina, and I don't remember who, Southern Miss, something like that. And Southern Miss was favored by 4-3. And right before the game, whoever the opponent, I don't remember exactly. I know East Carolina was one of them. I just can't remember who. Maybe it was Temple. Maybe that sounds right. East Carolina and Temple. Temple was favored by 3. And right before, 30, 45 minutes before kickoff, it comes out like Temple has got all these kids that are out. You know, they've contact, whatever, and they've got a slew of kids. And that line went from Temple by 3, taken off the board, and it comes back up East Carolina by like 7.5. But typically, they're out in front of this stuff a little bit more.
Oh, I would imagine they will more often than not. I do think there'll be some surprises last minute with some of this, though. Because I think one thing we found out is not every league has the same uniform policies of what to do about COVID. Right?
Imagine that. Can't get on the same page.
But that's one thing for a Power Five for football, where you got five leagues, and they're all doing it different. But you got, for Division One basketball, you got 300 and something teams. So that's 20 leagues.
Yep.
Not all of them contest at the same rate. Not all of them have the same policy on contact tracing, how long a guy's got to be in isolation. It's going to be really, really tricky.
So to recap, who is Vanderbilt? They're missing some players today.
Two starters. Jerry Stackhouse is weird because sometimes he'll bring a guy off the bench. Like last year, Saban Lee came off the bench for a lot of games. He was their best player for sure. But DJ Harvey is an incredibly important player. He's out. He's the transfer from Notre Dame. He is, by all accounts, going to be one of their primary scorers. And Cleavon Brown, who didn't start the first game, but he's going to play a lot. Experienced big man, sixth-year senior, is that right? Or at least fifth year. He's had a lot of injury issues, but good shot blocker, good rebounder, important guy. And one of the freshmen, Miles Stute.
But going back on the Tennessee, looking at them, I don't think there's any doubt they're the best team in the conference. They may be one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, yeah, they're top 10.
There's no doubt.
And they should be a contender all year, but this, we've talked about this with Vince and amongst ourselves. This is where the pressure is going to mount. I mean,
yes.
Rick Barnes, yep. I think, he's a good coach, but now you have the best team by far that you've had since you've been at Tennessee. You've recruited well. It's all paid off.
Yep.
Now you got to do something with it.
You're right, because what has been the knock on Rick Barnes over the years?
He can't do anything in the tournament.
Right,
postseason.
Can't make that run. He's had big-time talent. He's had loaded teams before, and he just can't make that long run.
What's realistic? Three games in, I know it's really hard to tell, but this is a good team, and we all agree that this is a top 10 good team. So when you say run, that doesn't necessarily mean Final Four or a national championship, but Elite Eight?
Here's the deal. The more they win and the more people do get eyeballs on this team, the more people are going to realize or they're going to think exactly what we're throwing out there about them. And so the hype train is going to get really big. It's already pretty big, but it's going to get really big when there's more eyeballs on it. Still, people are, you know, still trying to find college basketball. You know, it's not there yet. But once we get into 2021, more eyeballs on it, and the hype train really gets rolling down the tracks, then, look, there's going to be a lot of pressure for them to go far. You can't say, hey, win it all, or, you know, what a bust season. But I think when the hype train is rolling down the tracks and everybody sees this team as really, really good, I think anything short of Elite Eight, people are going to be really disappointed. And then all those people that are detractors or people that say stuff about Rick Barnes, they're going to come out of the woodworks if they fall on their face and they don't make a run. Because so this team is capable of going very far.
Elijah, give us – are they – do you think Final Four is a possibility?
It is, just because I think they're going to get better offensively, because the scoring burden that's on Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson isn't very high right now. And, of course, it helps when you're holding teams to, like, 50 points a game. I mean, it's going to make that a lot easier. But those guys are going to get better as the season goes along. And Keon Johnson's a projected top 10 NBA pick. I mean, he can score. That guy can get buckets. So I think this team has the capability, because they're pretty deep. I mean, this is the deepest team they've had in a couple of years. And in terms of just talent on the offensive side, it's there. It just needs to develop. I mean, you can still tell where Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson are still getting, like, acclimated to the college game, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, they'll smother anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Pons. I love players like in the college game today, like Pons and Wilkerson. Mm-hmm. Those are important type of guys to have. The glue guys, the D mm-hmm. up, they do all the little things. They've been around. They're strong.
And
so then you need the young super talent guys that might only be there for a year. They need to click and gel as quick as possible.
I mean, is it safe to say, though, they should win the SEC?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just because Kentucky's
down.
The
SEC is down.
The league as a whole is really down. There's really not any other team there that I feel like can contend with Tennessee's length. There's not really going to be any teams that are going to score more than 60 points on them. And that's just kind of the reality right now. I mean, last night Appalachian State was averaging over 80 points a game coming into it and got held to 13.5.
35, like, is that – wasn't that the total?
I think, 35 or 39, something like that. But they were held in the 30s last night.
Yeah,
and I'm honestly, like – Yves Pons might be the most athletic player in the country. I mean, that guy jumps out of the gym. And even if you do have mistakes on the defensive side, I mean, he's the best help defender in college basketball by a mile, because he will erase your team's mistakes at the rim just because he can come outside the paint. Because, like, with one foot, I mean, that guy leaps and is already erasing shots. Like, he's a difference maker.
The line literally just jumped up to 7, just like that.
Hmm.
Richmond by 7. Speaking of that, Chase, give them a word.
Yes, we'll talk about some lines. In fact, we're going to talk about some parlays. BetMGM, they are the king of sportsbooks. I have been telling you about this, but I've also brought up a new way to bet parlays. One game parlay, an exciting new feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types. 400, including team and player props. I love those. I told you about one that I tried the other day. With player props, log in to your BetMGM account and raise the stakes for a chance to win big. Making your same game win, total, and prop picks is easy with one game parlay. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make every play of every game matter more than they ever have before. You can make a one game parlay bet on pro football, soccer, and now the NBA, with more sports coming soon. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in yards for the star running back. That simple. You just put it all together. Log in today or download the BetMGM app and try one game parlay. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Tim Hasselbeck will kick off the third hour. Darren Donick and Chase. Let's get an update on the bum left shoulder. What do we got going on? I know we've got surgery in your future.
We have a date.
A date with the scalpel, which is?
Monday morning.
Monday morning. And how do you feel about that?
6:30 a.m. Early wake-up call.
Okay.
Get in there, get her done.
Outpatient?
As far as I know, yeah. Should be out of there. It seems like forever now ago that the accident or the injury occurred. So it's going to seem like forever, I think, between now and Monday.
Yeah.
But had to schedule it accordingly. And see, originally that's we put the schedule that way because I thought I would be doing the Vanderbilt Georgia game, which now is no longer. But
yep.
We were looking at maybe moving it up, but there was nothing available. So we're going with the 21st, and okay. So we'll see what happens.
I think you'll be fine. You're going to power through it like you always do. You got your boys here on your side. We'll hold the fort down while you're gone, and then listen to you go through the rehab.
Yep, the physical therapy will be a huge part of it for sure. I have to get the vision, you know, of being able to be the long toss partner again, be able to throw with my son. That won't happen for a while, so he might have to find another partner for some of those early weeks in the preseason.
Darren, you can help out with that. You're coach.
Might have to enlist you guys.
So far, so good on my end. We'll see.
When does the kid pitch season officially begin?
Beginning of March.
Okay, so you've got a while.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of the off-season stuff.
Yeah, we had a tidal wave meeting last night, an organization, so kind of going over everything for the spring. So, yeah, I'll be here before we know it.
Yep. And, of course, in the short term, I've got to make sure I'm functional for a potential January 13th situation for the NHL. Still, it's a little quiet, right? There have been some whispers, some rumblings. You can see a little bit. Barry. I almost said Barry Bettman. Gary's brother, Barry Bettman. No. Gary Bettman did a conference, and he gave a little detail on what the holdup is. Like, everybody's ready to go, but there are some teams that cannot hold the training camp in their city because of the restrictions, namely some of the Canadian teams. So they're trying to figure out, like, if you can't even have training camp, forget about a game, even a game in your building with no fans. Like, that's still not been cleared. What do you do? So I think they're going back to the idea, perhaps, that they might have to do some kind of hub at the beginning.
Hmm.
So this is complicating things. I thought it was interesting, too, guys, when we got a chance to talk to David Poile and John Hines. I think I had this as in my mind a possibility, but I don't think anybody has really said it. But they're going to do it more, David Poile called it baseball style, right?
Yep. Yep.
You go in and you play a two-game series in the same city. So instead of a home and home where, okay, Predators go to Chicago, play the Blackhawks, and then the Blackhawks fly back to Nashville and play. So it's a home and home, but each team gets a home game. It's a little bit more like playoffs. You go in and you play twice. So that's going to be a little wrinkle to the regular season.
I thought that had been thrown out there before.
I guess it had. I hadn't thought about it in a while. Like, you go to Florida, and I guess you play two against the Panthers, two against the Lightning. Like, think about maybe having to make a trip like that, and your roster is in a position, or maybe the other team's roster is in a tough position. Like, there could be some really bad luck, bad fortune.
Well, when they dumb down regular season schedule, are they still going to do Eastern Conference, the normal?
Yeah, because
remember, two games?
Florida and Tampa likely are in the Central Division. They're realigning for this year, right? All the Canadian teams are in one. And so there are some Eastern teams, and I think the last I saw, now remember, they put it out there, and then I think there's been some teams complaining.
Wasn't St. Louis one of them?
St. Louis was going to be put in the West, and I think they're not too happy about that.
Yeah, I saw some rumblings on out there that St. Louis was not happy. There may be some pushback.
Somebody from the Central Time Zone, in addition to Dallas is already having to go out there. I'm sure they're going, well, great. Like, it's hard enough for us every year, but they, I mean, man, they have some serious travel. But they're going to be with all the California teams. It's either Minnesota or St. Louis that's going to have to go west to have it be even.
We'll come back and start the hour with Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him. But right now I want to have a chat with you about it's still time to get that gift, that special gift. And if you kind of want that outside-the-box gift, something that says, hey, I put some thought into this, something that tells that person, hey, they're going to remember this gift because it's not something that they're a typical gift. Well, if you've got a bourbon lover in your circle of friends or a family member that loves bourbon, tell you what, here's that special gift for you. You hear us talk about it all the time. Blue Note Juke Joint whiskey, right? Crafted right here in the state. Crafted in Memphis, Tennessee. They're very part of their story is they want to honor the blues with this whiskey. It's, you hear me say, smoother than smooth. It's unfiltered at 93 proof. And there are two selections if you've got that bourbon lover in your friends or family that you would like to give them that gift for the holidays. They've got the Blue Note Juke Joint, which I talk about a lot, and the Blue Note Premium Small Batch, which is the 9-year bourbon, which is something that is very intriguing to me. And you can find this anywhere in the state, right here in Middle Tennessee, anywhere in the state. So go in there and ask for it. You can follow them on Instagram at Blue Note Bourbon and on their Facebook page. It's Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.